This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, much of yesterday, at least in here, post-draft was talking about what the Bills didn't do. What they did do, among other things, is load up front on defense. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Herr hotline. I promised myself not to ask a wide receiver question first because there's no reason to, really. We can't just keep living in this, only in this world where we focus on that. Spent enough of that time, spent enough time in that world before the draft. So, Sal, to the best extent that you can, tell us what you think the Bills' defensive line will look like. Like, which guys, where, rotational stuff. I mean, what do you think at least maybe they want it to look like?
Yeah, and if I can, guys, I think there is a discussion about wide receiver just on the Elijah Moore mechanics because of what happened yesterday.
Okay, so we'll get to that.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that tag or whatever's going on there, but yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll do that. All right, so defensive line. The way I see it, we know Michael Hoyt is suspended 6 games. We know Larry Ogunjobi is suspended 6 games. I believe it will be... Let's see. On the edge, you're going to have Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa, backed up by A.J. Epinesa and Landon Jackson. Javon Solomon, probably, you know, whether you want to go Javon or Landon Jackson, one to me would be a more of a special teams guy. They both will be. The other will play a little bit more as a main backup, probably. But I think your top four are Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa. Top three are Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa. And then one of those two, Javon Solomon or Landon Jackson, wins a more of a rotational job, while the other... becomes more of a special teams guy. I think they're battling for that spot, essentially.
Is that while Michael Hoyt is suspended, or yes. Is he just kind of all over the place, so you don't want him to like be pinned down on where he's going to work necessarily?
I am only going by week one.
Okay, gotcha.
I think it's really tough to project into week seven. We could do that only because, man, there are so many things that happen in 6 weeks, right? Guys get hurt, guys get nicked up, all those kinds of things. I think when Michael Hoyt comes back, if everybody is healthy... Then, you know, you have a decision to make over there. And again, maybe there's a guy that's getting a little nicked up, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you could always carry an extra guy there. So we'll see. That's a big decision. That being said, because Michael Hoyt does have position flexibility, you could still go with the same guys and just use Hoyt more as a piece around your defense. He can play a little bit of linebacker. He can play, you know, up front, of course. Defensive tackle, I think you still line up with Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones as your starting two defensive tackles. Dwayne Carter, to me, is a main backup, and I see TJ Sanders and Deion Walker both on the team, one of them inactive on game day, and one of them active on game day, most likely at this point you'd probably say Walker because he is dealing with a back injury. They're going to take it slow. I would not rule out at this point. I'm not saying that I think Deion Walker will be not ready for the season. I don't want anybody to misconstrue that. Mm-hmm. I'm just listening to Brandon Bean talk about him, and I would not be surprised if they use one of those two designations on cutdown day for IR to return that they can do now. You know how they started that last year? No longer a parking lot cut. Just wait out there. You got to make the 53. You don't have to do that anymore. You could tell a guy, hey, we're putting you on IR now. We're bringing you back in 4 weeks. And he doesn't even have to make the 53. I wouldn't be surprised if that's Deion Walker. I'll say that now here as we said on April 29th.
Okay. That seems pretty, like, stout. I mean, you've got a lot of names here. Plus, Ogunjobi will factor into this, too, at some point. They wanted to get stronger and deeper, and they did. There's no question. You're mentioning, what, three rookies? Or at least two. Yeah, three rookies here.
Yep.
Of course, Bosa.
I think the question comes for me, guys, and I think it's a legitimate question, is, you know, you're not going to release Deion Walker and TJ Sanders or Landon Jackson, right? It's just not going to happen. Those guys are playing. They were drafted. You're not subjecting them to waivers at the end of training camp. They're making the 53. There's almost no doubt about it here. The question come for me is there a veteran that all of a sudden is out of a job? I think you at least have to consider that possibility with both AJ Epenesa and Daquan Jones. Not for money possibilities. I mean, it would be for some money, but it would be just because where are the spots for these guys? And maybe you could save some money along the way. I've always said AJ Epenesa as a post June 1 cut actually saves you quite a bit of money, by the way. Take a look at it. Right now, I'm not predicting they're going to cut AJ Epenesa, but I think you have to at least consider that one of these veterans, you know, could be somebody that they wind up releasing or trading, by the way.
Yeah, it might really come down to how much do they feel like Solomon progressed through an off season as an NFL player, and do they trust him enough, and is Landon Jackson a reasonable plug-and-play as the backup role that AJ Epenesa has been occupying really since he got here, right? He's always been the first guy off the bench, basically, at defensive end, right?
Yes, and you are saving 2.7 AJ. It's still a 4.7 dead cap charge, so a little bit more than I thought there. I'm not predicting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Javon Solomon. I mean, they traded Bam Johnson, Daryl Johnson, a few years ago on a rookie deal, right? I mean, like, a lot of times that could happen, too. So you just, at some point, I think there's got to be something giving. And I always say, like, but we know this, guys. Like, injuries happen, and sometimes guys find their way to IR or some sort of other list because they just aren't able to play yet, and then kind of the numbers work themselves out.
Can be a trade that happens right before the season. Into training camp, teams make cuts, mm-hmm. and then you see moves like that made sometimes. Let's talk about corner. So, of course, Maxwell Hairston, first-round pick by the Bills. Trey White brought in, Dane Jackson as well. What do you think that might look like? Sal, do you think Hairston, or not necessarily, like, sort of the expectation would be that he would start? Or do you think maybe the Bills would want to get a real look at it?
I think you have to expect him to be able to start if you draft him as your first pick. But we have already seen evidence of that does not guarantee you anything. They started a sixth rounder over Kyrie Elam in 2022. Now, he did play a little bit early on, even in that first game Kyrie Elam played.
Yeah.
It just didn't obviously work out very well. So I think you at least have to. Here's the difference, though. In 2022, you had a sixth-round pick that was battling for that job and wound up getting it. Here in 2025, that would be either Tre'Davious White or Dane Jackson. And I think you feel more comfortable. So if Max Hairston doesn't get it right away, I think the Bills are probably a lot more comfortable than what they might have been in 2022 of turning to someone else. And I have to think back in 2022, would have been Dane Jackson here, you know, as well, but, you know, not a guy that they were going to put in at the starter. I have to go back and look where that was. But you guys get the point here of White or Jackson at least give you the opportunity to say, okay, you know, we can put a guy in there that we're very comfortable with. Obviously, Christian Benford's going to be on the team. I don't discount that White or Jackson could be released. To me, it would be more likely Jackson if you get to that point, just for, you know, you bring back Tre'Davious White for what he means to the organization, what he's meant. You know, you're not giving him a ton of money, but it is close to $3 million guaranteed. That's not Dane Jackson, right? Dane Jackson signed for less than that, I believe. So I think money-wise, that matters. I think Jamarcus Ingram is on this team because he just is so versatile for them. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can play safety for them. Just something. He's a very good special teams player. We know that, or at least somebody they count on a lot for that. What it's interesting to me is I think there's a battle between Jordan Hancock and Cam Lewis for the who's going to play the backup nickel, and then the right. other guy will be the backup safety. So I think they're both probably on the team, just which role. Because this may be able to allow Cam Lewis to be more of a really kind of a specific player instead of, hey, we have Cam Lewis and we can put him anywhere. And he's been really good in that role, no doubt. I had John Scott on today from Channel 2. John said he had an interview with Cam Lewis he did last year, I think it was, and Cam said to him he's more comfortable at nickel than he is at safety. The Bills have a new nickel coach. They brought in, and I can't remember the guy's name from the New England Patriots, but anyway, they brought in a new nickel coach. They had one last year. I don't know if it matters or not, but maybe this is something where they say, okay, Cam Lewis is now just going to be the backup nickel, and Jordan Hancock becomes a safety. I think DeMar Hamlin doesn't have to be on this team. They didn't sign him to it. It was a minimal deal. You signed Derek Forrest. Maybe Hamlin and Forrest are fighting for a job. I think that's how it could shake out.
Yeah, with the guys that they had already brought in, the veterans like Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White, you know, keeping Hamlin around, like you said, and then you've got like the rest of it, the guys that they just picked, right, Strong and Jordan. Like, yeah, it feels to me like maybe some guys back there should be on notice, you know? Like, that the depth chart could change. Like, I don't know, you sound pretty sure that Ingram is, like, locked in, but, like, he and Lewis were the first two guys I thought of. Like, are they drafting guys here to try to upgrade the depth behind the starters? Because, I don't think either Strong or Hancock are guys that they're looking at right now. I mean, we all know, right, Benford was a sixth-round pick and came in and outplayed the first-round pick and ended up being a starter. So, like, you don't want to rule anything out. But I'm thinking about depth pieces, and, yeah, like, they've set up competition here up front and in the back end, too. Mm-hmm. Not so much at linebacker.
Yeah, this is where I think contracts and money matter. So Jamarcus Ingram was an exclusive rights free agent. They were able to tender him at the very minimal offer and keep him on the team. And I think that matters to who he is and what he does for them. Because next year he'll be a restricted free agent. You still have controlling rights to him. If you wind up moving on from him, that's not the case. It doesn't have to be the end all be all. But I think in that case, that makes it different. You waive him, he's still subject to waivers. You waive Cam Lewis, he could very well sign with another team, but he's not subject to waivers anymore. He's been in the league long enough. You could still get him back, right? I mean, like, if something happens. So if you want to go down that road, yeah, I think Jamarcus Ingram's a guy that would, I think, right now be locked in. But, boy, I mean, I was actually looking at it today. I'd have a tough time making a 53 right now, to be quite honest with you guys. I mean, there's some tough decisions they're going to have to make.
With Sal Capaccio, who's got a grid that he keeps running of the roster. What is it, 76 players at this point around the Bills?
It's going to be 88 soon, because I think by next week when they open rookie minicamp, I think there's going to be 12 guys who wind up signing.
Okay.
Street free agents, you mean, right? Yeah. Undrafted guys.
Undrafted free agents, right, yes.
Right. All right, so let's buzz through Elijah Moore here. I don't hope this isn't too convoluted, whatever the rules are in this, but the Bills had brought him in for a visit yesterday. It's kind of funny with all the wide receiver mania here yesterday, but that was happening too. Bean acknowledged it. But the Browns did a thing today that how much tougher would it make Moore to, you know, be a Bill signing?
I think it might make it more challenging, because if he wants to get a bigger payday, a better payday, it's probably clearly more with the Cleveland Browns, unless the Bills are willing to go over the $3.4 million. He doesn't have to. He can sign for less than that. But the way this is going to work now is this. If he does not sign with any other team by July 22nd, the only team he can sign with is the Cleveland Browns. That's the deadline. He can negotiate with any other team. He can sign with any other team until July 22nd. Once that deadline hits, he plays for them on a guaranteed salary of $3.4 million. That's what he's making. So he can wait it out and say, I'm going back to Cleveland at $3.4 million. That's fine. If he chooses to sign with another team, it can be for whatever money. It could be more than that. It could be less than that. If that happens before the compensatory pick deadline, which is on next Monday, I believe. I think I have to look at exactly. I think May 1st has been the deadline. I have to exactly. No, I think every year kind of moves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up, though. If that happens, he is eligible for the Browns and for the team signing him to qualify for compensatory picks, which means the team signing him has to count him as an add. The team releasing him, the Browns in this case, could count him as a leave.
So the Browns just sort of protecting themselves, trying to get an asset if the player leaves. It it does create a floor, like you're saying, of whatever that tender 3.4, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
So you might feel like, it doesn't have to be, if he thought there was a better opportunity here or anywhere else for that matter for $1.5 million or whatever, he could do that and nothing changes with the formula and the compensatory part of it. But it does sort of feel like if you're going to sign him, you probably got to beat 3.4, at least match 3.4 million.
It sounds to me that way, unless he just doesn't want to go back to Cleveland and the money's close, right? And like, hey, I'd rather go somewhere else, have an opportunity somewhere because it didn't work out here for me.
Yeah.
That feels like the case, yes.
Where did this rule come from?
Yeah, the first time I ever heard of it was yesterday when, like, it was shortly after Moore visited, I saw something about that, the Browns doing this, and then today there was a story about the Chargers doing it with J.K. Dobbins. First two times I'd ever heard of this possibility.
The first time I heard of it, I believe the Patriots had done this with one of their running backs. I don't think it was Mike Gillisley. It was right around that time period. I can't remember who it was. And it was the first time I had not known about it either. I'm like, wait a minute, what is this thing? And everybody was praising Bill Belichick because he's playing chess and everyone's playing checkers because he did this, right? I mean, that's literally why. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's a good rule, but I don't know if it mattered at the end of the day. And then this thing came up again over the last 24 hours. By the way, it's him and J.K. Dobbins. I think you guys just said that. But
yep,
J.K. Dobbins, they both have done this now, them and the Chargers.
And it's the team's call. The team slaps the tag on the player. But it's not all bad for the player. It's not one of those.
Like, no.
He can still try to find the new home, whatever, and he's guaranteed that fallback. Fantasy, like, the possibility now of Dobbins going back there, that they would even want to do that at all after signing Najee Harris and then drafting Omarion Hampton in the first round. Didn't need that.
I think you have to, from a Bills standpoint, guys, think, okay, then, if we have to match, let's just say the Bills do, is it worth it to pay him that kind of money, right? Like, is it worth it?
Right.
Do you like him that much to say we're going to pay him $3.4 million? It may not take that much, but I think that's at least what you have to go off of. Now, let's remember, salary cap-wise, if he were to sign, that's what it does get a little confusing for everybody. I'll explain it, though. If he were to sign with the Bills for that, for let's say 3.5, the Bills say, okay, we'll go a little bit above that, 3.5. He actually would only count 2.5 on their salary cap because he would drop somebody off the top 51, and right now that top 51 is about $1 million.
Bean on McAfee today, they talked about James Cook. Bean sounds maybe more than before confident in it, unless he was just trying to get through it, but sounds like, you know, he's optimistic.
I've never felt that Brandon Bean wouldn't be optimistic about James Cook playing this year. I mean, when he says, though, for years to come, I think maybe that's a little bit more optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's never felt to me like James Cook would not be playing football for the Buffalo Bills this year. I think we've talked about this where it would be pretty surprising to me if he misses any time. It's certainly possible, but I think the Bills are confident that he's going to be here. He's going to play football. But what happens after 2025, I think, is, you know, the question right now.
Yeah, and for Bean to say that, you know, as confidently as maybe he did today, maybe tells you that there's, you know, progress on that front. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever the noise has been, he must feel like I don't know. It might get you to, he's been given some assurance that, like, this is not going to get ugly. You know, and maybe they were seeking that. If I were Bean, I would want to know as much as I could about that possibility ahead of the draft. We talked that through many times, like what the Bills do or don't do
at
that position could be a tell, right? If they're worried and they draft someone on Friday, like, holy cow, you know, like they must be really worried about Cook, or maybe they got a trade working. But of course, none of that happened. So, and now Bean is talking like that today. Maybe they did, you know, get some sort of a, I don't want to say peace offering, because it's not like they're in a battle necessarily, but, you know, publicly Cook and his, you know, family or whatever has been making noise, and the Bills have just been kind of steady as she goes.
I like that point a lot, Bulldog. And what I would say to add to that is, now that the Bills didn't draft anyone, they can also kind of go to James Cook in good faith. Hey, we didn't draft anybody. Like, we want you here. Like, we're showing you that we want to have you, not somebody else, right? I think that could go a long way as well.
It was announced, and we have not discussed this together yet, at the draft, that the schedule would come out May 14th. As recently as last year, I believe, that was more up in the air until maybe a couple days before or a few days before. But this time, like, Goodell on the throne got a look at it, and he's all good. It's all, there's no chance that it won't be ready by May 14th. Would you take that to mean it's done? I think I would. or almost, just a couple of
I don't think it would take it to mean it's done. I think it's basically saying we got to get this out. Like, we can't wait any longer than that. But we've had enough of these schedules, you know, come out that we're confident one will be done. We might have a few tweaks. They probably have a lot of it done. It reminds me of a little bit of when you asked that question, the decision with LeBron James when he went to Miami. Because if you go and watch LeBron talk about that years later, he would tell you he had no idea exactly where, what he was going to do until the day before. But he had made the decision. He's got to make up his mind by then, and let's do it then, and I'll have my decision. But he still didn't have the decision until like the day before. So you never know. I mean, I think they're just setting a deadline and going, we got to have this thing done by then.
Is there? There's nothing new that I've heard in a while. Bulldog said watching the draft, he thought maybe they would announce a game like a Packers game.
Yeah, the way they went through so much trouble to announce that date, I thought that those women were going to drop a Green Bay primetime game or something, or like how, you know, whatever, Black Friday or something, like something special for the fans. And instead, it just was like, oh, okay, May 14th, thanks. So I was bummed out we didn't get all game there. But
I agree with you. I thought, you know, we could get something like that. We've seen that in the past. But there are a couple of new things. One isn't new, but it's still something that we talked about, which is they're giving themselves a couple of weeks for Aaron Rodgers here first, right? I mean, they still need to know, because if Aaron Rodgers suddenly, you know, if you're making a schedule and then suddenly he signs with the Steelers, it could change it. But what if he just doesn't? What if he says, I'm retiring? And you had the Steelers and all these different primetime windows or something like that, and you're like, ah, I don't know if I want to do that now. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think that gives them that out. But the other thing is, did you guys see a couple weeks ago, Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, who's from Buffalo, obviously, if people didn't know that, I guess.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He said the Steelers, he believes, will most likely protect the Green Bay game to not play in Ireland. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Now, when we had Mike North on, he had said that they do consult these teams, right? But we can get into that. I have since learned that that is possible. They could protect the game and say, that's a team. No, you're not putting that game in Ireland. We are not going there. I don't know if they've protected it, but Mark Murphy believes, the president of the Packers, that the Steelers will protect that game. And if that's the case, that opens up the door more for maybe the Bills to be that team.
See the thing about Derek Carr, by the way, before you go, in church the other day, talking about confirming his shoulder injury and kind of sounding like the Saints are evil.
I didn't watch. I saw it referenced, but I did not watch the video, so I did not know what it. What I saw was a post of him walking around, I guess, on the altar of a church, and someone said, "Like, imagine you show up for mass on Sunday, and Derek Carr is up here talking about the Saints and his shoulder injury."
Yeah,
just kind of an odd.
In Vegas, it was in Vegas.
That's right, it was in Vegas. Yeah.
All right. Well, doesn't sound like he'll be playing for them, but it's not like he's tradable either. Big contract. Tyler Shugg is probably the week one starter for the Saints. A quarterback prospect that, I mean, when did you first hear of him? A month ago, if that?
Two, maybe tops.
You could follow college football like super seriously and know who he was. He was in college football from 2018 on. So it's not like you didn't have chances to hear about this guy. But
what a team that comes here this year, the New Orleans Saints. Maybe he's the starting quarterback when they do.
Maybe it's week one and he makes his debut.
Yeah, that's right. That is something that's happened many times, as you know, over the years, right? Ryan Leaf against the Bills, Jeff George against the Bills, Drew Bledsoe against the Bills. There's been plenty of NFL QBs who've made their debuts against the Bills. Haskins, I believe, for Washington a few years ago, even though it wasn't the first game of the year. First start against the Bills.
Kenny Pickett's
first start against the Bills. Yep. That has happened quite often, actually.
That's right. You got to start against somebody.
Right.
It's got to come against somebody. Yep. All right. Thanks for your time, Sal, as always.
All right, you got it, guys.
All right, it's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
New Orleans here week one. What do you think? Absolutely not.
It's not my favorite idea, but I could see it. I mean, we got Arizona last year, so.
Yeah, I don't want to go back-to-back obscure NFC teams.
Yeah.
Obscure.
I love obscure. Right.
Who are the teams again? What's that one? The Saints. I mean, it wouldn't. If people had to name the teams, all the teams, the Saints would be left out a time or two. They would be forgotten about. And the Cardinals. Obviously, we would say that as notorious Cardinals haters.
They don't even belong in the league.
Who is the most obscure NFL team? Can there even be one in this league? Carolina? Are the Chargers a candidate?
I don't think that you can be in Los Angeles and qualify as obscure.
Jacksonville?
That could work.
Is there such a thing as an obscure NFL team? Could it be possible with the magnitude of this league? Anyway, 803-0550. A lot of you called in yesterday to talk about Brandon Bean, what he said, how he sounded, what he's done or not done. We're here for that again today and more off of the draft. Lines are open now. This is WGR.
Last summer when people did, their so-called mock drafts, which of course people have already started for next year, he was viewed as a top 10 guy. So, I did him last summer from his 2023 tape, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, he had a rare combination of size and athleticism, imposing length. There were times his natural quickness for that size was startling. I mean, he just was athletic. He was quick. He had strength. He had power. He had dominant run game snaps. He had dominant pass rush snaps. I mean, he just looked like this guy could do anything he wanted to do.
Greg Cosell, no doubt a highly thought of analyst, but so-called mock drafts. How dare you? What are they? They're not. Are they mock drafts? They are what they are. They serve a useful purpose, and people enjoy them.
Who are these people? Do you know these people?
Yes,
are you these people?
You are too, these people. We are all these people. We love the mock drafts, don't we? Like, we ate them up.
I have never in my life one time looked at a mock draft in the summer before a college football season.
Well, I'm not talking about when.
Oh, okay. Well, part of that was
he says so-called mock drafts, like ha ha ha.
Right.
They're not to be taken seriously is the clear implication, I think. And they've even started them already for next year. Okay. I mean, some people are insane about it, but
All right. I thought the whole thing was about so-called mock drafts in the summer, which is like I would agree. Like a mock draft in the summer doesn't seem that functional. I.e., the player he's talking about there is Deion Walker, fourth round pick of the Bills. Looked like off his 23 tape going into the 24 season, someone who's going to be a monster early pick. And this year there was a back injury and he just wasn't the same player. And the Bills got him on Saturday at the draft. So, yeah, I didn't realize that he was like there was an all encompassing down the nose look at mock drafts there. I thought it was specific to the summer. Yeah, I trust that you heard it right. I was probably distracted.
You could say I'm taking a small leap. Is there such a thing as a small leap? I'm taking a skip. Yeah, but that's so. Why would you need so-called? They're mock drafts. I got the sense Cosell thinks he's above it. He's above the world of people who do mock drafts. I don't know.
That might have been a tell. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big fan of his, so I'm not going to hold it against him.
Yeah,
myself, but I'll be fine.
It's like people with Bean. Right. I like him, so I'm going to defend him.
Right.
That's how life works. I heard yesterday that the Bean thing was because that he used fantasy. That's why everybody got so hot in here, was that he used fantasy. I mean, yeah, not no. you. You yeah. would not be accused of this, probably.
Yeah,
although there are people who think you're the one who is the fantasy sicko. Right? That's happened.
Yeah, sure. That does happen. People do confuse us. I had a guy I've had to correct twice at the same place. He's an employee of a place I frequent. And one time it happened, and I very politely said, no, you've got it confused. I'm this guy. My partner is that guy. And he said, oh, okay, I'm very sorry about that. Nice to meet you.
Then he asked you, what do you think of TJ Hawkinson's ADP?
Like a week or two later, he made the same mistake. I was like, dude, come on. We did this a couple weeks ago. I'm not that guy. I'm this guy. Anyway, but there wasn't a fantasy component to that story. Sorry to let you down. I was leading out like there was going to be some great fantasy.
Like he asked you a question or something?
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. It was just general confusion.
I don't think when Bean says fantasy football, I hear it's just meant as an insult. It's not specific. It doesn't even really make sense. You know, fantasy, what would matter in fantasy? Why would if it was only about fantasy football and we're out here going, you should be drafting a wide receiver, what is it? So we would have somebody to start? Is it because we like to play fantasy football and
we
love
players.
The Bills, right? So yeah. We need you to draft. That's really what,
yeah.
If you think about it and you think like that's what might be logical, there's no... He would just not have an understanding. It would not make sense from either side.
There's always other players that you can use in your fantasy football lineup. There's no shortage of them. So you don't need them to be Bills players.
Where there's a problem, at least arguably, is when you say fantasy, what I think it really means is it's not just about scoring. Football is more than just scoring. Because that's what fantasy is a form of.
Or points. Football is about more than just the guy who actually scores the points. Like that gets credited for the touchdown, right? A lot more goes into it and all that sort of stuff, sure.
Yards and good things.
Yeah.
And when people try to insult you, like he did, by calling it fantasy football, it really doesn't make sense. What I think it only exposes is, you know, maybe this didn't need to be exposed, because it's kind of the whole point, is that you're really just not as keen on offense as, you know, you or I would like. That it's more about defense. And you don't even need to hear it, because even without his showing up on our doorstep yesterday morning for an interview, what did they do? And they have drafted offense at other times, I am aware, but not on the same level, especially when, and this is, again, a matter of opinion, although there's a lot of data to support it, when offense is more it. Offense is him, if you want. And, you know, defense is not meaningless, but what this one way to look at the whole thing is, we've had this conversation dozens of times, because in 5 years, they have lost to Kansas City in the playoffs 4 times. And in every one of those games, they could not get off the field. The game was lost mostly because they could not get stops. This year, it's especially upsetting because Kansas City offensively all year was no good. And when they saw the Bills in the playoffs, it was like, oh, we got it. You know, and then you extrapolate that into what McDermott's value is supposed to be. And now I've got 6 defensive players in the draft and hardly a wide receiver that anybody thinks is that great. Well, you know. The thing yesterday was Bean coming in with, it's not even reasonable to question this. In so many words, it's not reasonable to obsess about or complain about our lack of effort at drafting wide receivers. And I would politely say, I think it absolutely is. And it doesn't. It's not that it's what you had to do.
It's a thing you could have done.
It's a reasonable idea.
right.
And he was at a point yesterday where it's like, this is not reasonable.
Yeah.
Enough.
I don't know that the opportunity will ever be afforded me or any of us. But I would really like to know what it is that tipped it. You know, like what did he get? I'm guessing he knew before he went to bed he was going to be on with Jeremy and Joe yesterday morning at 8:30, right? Was he thinking about like, man, I want to defend our guys, which, you know, I understand. You've got a room full of guys who are your receivers, and if they pay attention to the radio, all it sounds maybe in a certain way, all it sounds like is all we want to do is replace every one of them. We want better players, bigger, stronger, faster, better players than all of the guys that you have chosen to put your energy into either drafting or acquiring through free agency or trade, whatever. So did he think about it ahead of time? I find that hard to really get my head around, because you would, I think, eventually get to that's not going to be a good idea. Like, this is not worth the whatever relationship I've got with those guys in the station and with the fan base, because you're also talking to fans. There are plenty of fans who, you know, sure, are they egged on by Jeremy and us and everyone? Sure, to some extent. But I'm sure there's plenty of free-thinking Bills fans who can't stand us and never listen to us that would have led a receiver before the seventh round, too. So you're also sort of assailing that portion of your fan base, saying this is an idiotic argument, like words like that, you would talk yourself out of that, I think, if you're used to being someone who appears in public and cares about what that relationship is like. So it feels more likely, I don't know why I'm bothering to guess about this, but I just, the motivation is just so interesting to me. What is he actually responding to? Is it just the overall sound? I mean, we hear plenty that we talk about receiver too much, disproportionately. Okay, maybe he feels like that's it, I'm going to put a stop to this, or I'm going to at least object. Still, I don't know. There was nothing that happened in the run-up to him being on that he was actually responding to, which is just weird to me. And so I don't know. Is there something going on internally over there that is bothering him, that he's like sort of juxtaposing out into the world, that, you know, does someone who matters over there think they don't have enough receivers and he's already boiling about it? He's just going to take it out on the first person he sees who happens to be Jeremy and Joe? I don't know. I would love to know privately. I mean, it'd be great publicly too, but I'd love to know, like, what tipped it for him. Was it sudden? Was it thought out? Again, probably not, but who knows? I just think it's so interesting that he chose to go that route like that. It just did not, I don't know. To me, when a guy is getting a hard time, like we've all been in a position to be giving these people in these jobs hard times. And we know when we're doing it. I mean, I certainly do. And understand if there's going to be some pushback when I run into this person the next time in person, or they choose to reach out to me to tell me they're just whatever. I just don't see that. Like, this was not like an arranged boxing match. It just didn't seem like the run-up to it makes sense with where he ended up. So the where's and the why's of how it happened are still pretty interesting to me.
Think about, if you really do want to analyze it, and not everybody does, at least anymore, that he mentions the Allen pick, like right away. You knew he was on his heels.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just someday, it's not even conscious necessarily. Like someday, I just know someday I do this about things that I've talked about, and like if it ever comes up again, this is what I'm going to say. and maybe that's what happened there. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls at 803-0550. This is WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back to your calls at 803-0550. We have Jim. Hello, Jim.
Well, hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Just wanted to kind of chime in on the whole Bean thing. You know, I've been a big fan of his, and I'm very, very grateful that, you know, the Bills are relevant now and in the mix every season, and it's just such a big improvement over what we had been living with for a long time. But I lost a lot of respect for him yesterday. I felt like he made it personal, and he was kind of punching down and throwing his weight around a little bit, and it just was unbecoming, I think, and not really representative of a real professional. So that's all I got for you.
Okay, Jim. Thank you. I feel like that's a lot of people. I like him. I respect him. What was that?
Yeah.
Here's Brian next. Yeah. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. I guess what I would say is it sounded to me like an extension of the end-of-the-year press conference. I mean, he talked about how they're close. We don't got to tear it down. We don't got to make any major changes. We're not just out there losing to anybody. This is the three-time going for three championships in a row. We're not just losing to any slappy. And I think they take a lot of pride in 2017. He clearly led with, I got you, Allen. And I kind of think he feels like a made man. Like, his resume should be kind of unquestioned. Yeah, you should trust McDermott's defense. Now, I think we've seen this movie before, so it transitions to the way the fans, there's the little pushback because, you know, we've seen Apex McDermott defense. We've seen Tremaine Edmonds, two safeties, Hyde and Poyer, that were great. We've seen his defensive line rotation. We've seen Trey White in his prime, and it wasn't good enough. And now, you know, you get six more defenders to go plug into his defense, and you're supposed to just trust that. And, oh, by the way, you know, I don't really change on my end on receivers, so I'm still going to starve Allen of receivers. We've got four receivers, and Elijah Moore isn't coming either. So I think his tone was a little somber on one Bills drive. I think he kind of knew. He stepped in it a little bit. But I kind of think, I guess my apex point is, like, we're kind of reaching, to me, the culmination of being a McDermott. To me, it's getting to the end here. Like, you either win it soon,
yep,
or we're getting to the end. Like, you've shown us the best hand you've got, Bean, and you're not coming off it. You've clearly said, I'm not changing. This is how we build a team. It's not about receivers. It's about the team. But we've seen that. That's the problem. We've seen 2023. Okay, we excused it. They were injured. Then 2024 happened, and you weren't able to stop them in that game either. So, high-octane Bills offense, you weren't able to stop it. Ball control Bills offense, weren't able to beat the Chiefs. We've seen McDermott. He'll have the great, I have no opinion. Like, he'll definitely have the regular season. It'll be 17 to 21 points against, and he'll look great. Come playoff time, Joe Burrow comes in here with the Bengals or the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to stop him again. I think he'll play the same exact style.
Well,
thank you for the call, Brian.
Just like with Nick Kostos last week, you haven't been wrong yet.
Yeah. I got pretty far into the motivation and, like, what's he thinking and, like, how did this come to be? Because it still really doesn't make a ton of sense to me that he went as hard, Bean went as hard, or chose to go as hard as he did. I wonder if what the caller is saying, I think I mentioned this a few times yesterday, like, you don't get to have these jobs forever. And I wonder if there's some manifestation of them or him specifically feeling more pressure, because that doesn't have to be directly from McDermott or Pegula or anyone in the building. It might just be natural. Like, I've been doing this for 7 years and we have not gotten where we need to go. You would know in that job, at some point, I'm going to have to produce a different result than losing in the divisional round or the AFC title game. And maybe he feels like the sand is starting to run out of the hourglass on him. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I'm with the caller. I've said it. We haven't really, you know, done a deep dive. It's just one take. But I think this year is it. And maybe this draft just makes that more obvious even, or just at least more likely, because it is their defense that has cost them when it counts the most. And this was a year where you played a team, despite its great quarterback, that had not been good on offense at all, and they were good against you, and it was just enough. So if not that, then you really are pretty much at stay as long as you want.
Well, right.
This is good enough. We're grateful. Stay as long as you want. But your defense gets you beat in the playoffs again, and then you pour your draft into the defense. Now what? 803-0550. I'm wanting to get past how he sounded and his attitude yesterday, and more just like what this is. You know, we learned more about the philosophy, I guess. Mostly, though, it's evident in the picks themselves. You're welcome to join us. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.